Okay, so I must be honest, when John told me what passage he wanted me to preach on, I thought he was winding me up. I thought so. I said, "Yeah, sure, John. I'll be happy to you know, you go and have a good time in Keswick. I'll stand there and preach for you. What am I preaching on? You know, Genesis 19, which is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, no, but seriously, John, what am I preaching on? The destruction, Genesis 19, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, you know, that's cool." So it's not a passage in the Bible we sort of gravitate towards, is it? It's quite a lot of difficult stuff to unpack there. There's one particular bit of the passage I've chosen to focus on, and that's probably one of the best known bits, obviously. Lot's wife looks back, and she's turned into a pillar of salt. So the theme for tonight's sermon is don't look back. It's probably one of the best known passages in the Bible. In fact, we can remember Lot's wife more than we can remember Lot, because we know what happened to her. She turned into a pillar of salt. So this is like a recurring refrain, isn't it, in the Bible. Someone, person or persons, are given strict instructions not to do something, and they do it and they face the consequences. So you can go right to the start of Genesis, Adam and Eve. The Lord commanded the man, "You're free to eat any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from that tree over there." Okay, that tree over there is the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat from it, you'll certainly die. So you can eat from any of these trees, all these trees you see around here. Yeah, help yourself, not that tree over there. Okay, so which tree mustn't you eat from? That one. Okay, you got it. Don't eat from that tree. So what happens, of course, if we're not, well, wishing to unpack the story, both Adam and Eve eat from this tree, and they have to face the consequences. Next up is their offspring, Cain and Abel. So Cain is bitter because his offering isn't accepted and his brother's is. So again, he is given a warning by God. He says, sin, the Bible says, sin is crouching at your door, but you must master it. You must rule over it. You mustn't allow your bitterness and your anger to take possession of you. Otherwise, you might do something you regret. So if you've got that, Cain, don't let your anger get a hold of you, because you might do something you regret. So what does he do? He goes out into the field, finds his brother and kills him, and he has to face the consequences. So then in this story, Lot and his family are instructed to flee, but on the proviso, you don't look back. Okay, you got that? Do not look back. Don't look back. His wife, Lot's wife, looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt. I expressly remember reading this story when I had my first Bible, my child's Bible that my grandma bought for me. So I had this child's Bible, and the Old Testament was amazing. Some of the stories in there, you know, you want to try, yeah, amazing. But I always remember this story always stuck out for me, because I always thought that it's like the consequences and the actions were a bit disproportionate. After all she did was look back. It's a pretty innocuous thing sort of to do, isn't it? You know, and visions of her glancing over her shoulder out of curiosity, see what was happening. And she gets turned to a pillar of salt. And I've always found that was pretty harsh. You know, the crime and the punishment, you know, well, you know, so she looked back. So what? It was all very harsh. Anyway, like I said, the theme of today's talk is don't look back. But I'll look at how, in a sense, there's good looking back and there is bad looking back. So I'll have a look at that as we go on. So don't look back. Why did Lot's wife look back? Doesn't say in the Bible. Doesn't say. It just said she looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Doesn't say why she looked back. But that doesn't stop, you know, Bible commentators, whatever, speculating as to why this happened. And many of the commentaries you read seem to think that by looking back at Sodom, it wasn't out of a curiosity to see what was being done. Maybe she was, many think that she was looking back with a kind of longing, a kind of, you know, well, Sodom had its faults, we could all see that, but was it so really, really so bad that it had to be destroyed? She probably got a lot of happy memories there. You know, that's where we raised the kids. you know, sort of, and you know, maybe she's got the garden looking really nice, but she's got to leave, she's got to flee because it's going to be destroyed. So maybe Lot's wife, a crime in a way, was to look back almost with a sense of nostalgia, a sense of regret or lament. She didn't really want to leave. She didn't really understand why they had to flee, why it had to be destroyed. So, well, like I said, I want us to look back, think about when looking back is good and when looking back is bad. So I was thinking of other examples of when people looked back in a bad way. The one I came up with is from the book of Exodus with the Israelites enslaved by the Egyptians, and they're in a pretty bad state because the Bible says this: the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. And then God said to me, God says to Moses, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So as we're probably aware, God sent 10 plagues upon the Egyptians, and eventually Pharaoh agrees to let them go. Even then, after that, he changes his mind, and it's only when his army is destroyed and consumed by the sea that the Israelites finally flee. And Exodus records the reaction of the Israelites to being freed. If you look at chapter 15, most of it is taken up with this song of praise to God. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? So this is just after they've been delivered. This is the reaction of the Israelites just after they've been delivered from slavery. But if you read on a few chapters, things are very different. It says this in Exodus: in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around with pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us into this desert to starve this assembly to death. Further on in the book of Numbers, it says, now the rabble who were among them had greedy cravings, and the sons of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Who will remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt? The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Now our appetite is gone. There is nothing to look at except this manna. So why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? They're talking about when they're going into the promised land. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. So to be fair to the Israelites, this just didn't happen overnight. They didn't go from singing God's praises to wishing they were back in Egypt overnight. But they're sort of very fond for how things were back in Egypt, particularly the food. They seemed like they didn't seem to forget the fact they were slaves. All the food was tremendous, apparently. So like Lot's wife, they're guilty of looking back. Instead of thinking about what the future held, the promised land, what that might bring, and instead of trusting in God, who had delivered them, who had given them manna, you got it every day, but it fed them. Instead of that, they begin to doubt. Their faith evaporates and they lose heart. So they start to reminisce about the time in Egypt. They start to reminisce about the slavery. Maybe it wasn't so bad after all. And in the Gospels, Jesus also has something to say about looking back. It's in Luke's Gospel in chapter 9, right at the end. Jesus says this: no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus says this to a reason. He says this in response to a man who was seemingly eager to follow him, but first wanted to say goodbye to his family. He said, yeah, I will come and follow you, Lord. I don't know if you remember this passage. Yeah, I'll come and follow you, Lord. One man out wants to go and bury a relative. This other man says, yeah, I'll come and follow you, Lord. But let me just go and see my family first. Let me go and say my goodbyes, and then I'm right with you. So Jesus says this in response to what he says. He says, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Again, this seems a bit harsh. It's only natural, isn't it? You want to say goodbye to people. You want to say goodbye to your family. At least let them know where you were and what you were doing. But I think Jesus is aware that if he does that, then the moment will be lost. Because surely if you go back to your family, they will try and, in a sense, persuade you not to go. You say, right, I'm off, I've met this rabbi, this Jesus, and I've decided I'm going to follow him. So your family will be saying, what are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? Have you thought about these things? Have you thought this through? Well, I'm sure everything will work out. No. You stay here with us. Seriously, you stay here with us. You'll be fine. So harsh though it seems, this is, I guess, what Jesus says. You can't look back. You can't go back. In some ways, when we become Christians, we can have the same issues maybe as the Israelites. When we're new Christians, our faith can be exciting. And I remember becoming a Christian when I was 18. It was the most amazing thing. And I thought in some ways I would be filled with that excitement forever. New adventures, new possibilities. You know, you're full of the Holy Spirit. You want to share this fantastic gospel message with everyone. But over time, Christianity was no longer new. And when you become a new Christian, there is a time when Christianity is no longer new. We face difficulties despite our new faith, despite maybe everything's marvelous, but then we face difficulties despite our faith, or maybe even because of it. Because a lot of people becoming a Christian puts them into dangerous situations and they face difficulties. And maybe that life we had, that at first, when we became a Christian, we despised our old life. We were happy to reject it and get rid of it. But maybe over time, it doesn't seem quite so bad. We look back, maybe like the Israelites or maybe like Lot's wife. The Israelites found things hard and they look back at their time in slavery almost with a fond reminiscence. Maybe Lot's wife is guilty because she was the same way. You know, Sodom wasn't perfect. But it was home, and now she faces uncertainty. So as Pete, that horrible saying that people come up with, better the devil you know. Sodom wasn't so good, but yeah, it was our home, and we knew what it was like. So that is, in a sense, bad looking back. But there is also good looking back. The Israelites, after their deliverance from Egypt and from slavery, are in effect instructed to look back. To celebrate the Passover. The Passover where the angel of death passed over the houses of the Israelites and spared them. And God commands this in Exodus. He says, this is a day you are to commemorate, to remember. For generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. And of course, you know, the Passover, that's what Jesus celebrates when he's at the Last Supper. He is celebrating the Passover. So when we come and we share communion, we're looking back to that Last Supper. Jesus takes the bread and wine and blesses it. This is my body, this is my blood, this is my body. Shares it with the disciples. So looking back in itself isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's the how and why that are important. Do we look back thankfully? At communion, we give thanks to Jesus for his sacrifice. We celebrate Christmas and Easter, but there's also things like Pentecost, we remember. So looking back can be a helpful, and remembering, looking back can be a helpful and positive thing. In fact, it's essential for help us to understand our faith and what we believe. But as we see from today's passage, it can also be dangerous. That's not to say we're going to be turned into a pillar of salt. But in looking back, we're guilty of maybe reimagining what the past is like. Sodom wasn't such a bad place. Slavery wasn't so terrible. Our lives before we were Christians maybe weren't so appalling as it seemed when we accepted God's grace. You know, sometimes when you become a Christian, you feel convicted of sin. You realize that your ways have to change. The old life has to end, the old ways, the old behavior, even leaving old friends and old relationships. Things have to change. And sometimes, like Lot's wife or like the Israelites, we imagine as we go on our Christian life that maybe the past wasn't so bad. Maybe our behavior wasn't so appalling, you know. So Lot's wife looks back. The Israelites crave a return to Egypt. And although, like we said, we're convicted of our sins by the Holy Spirit, and, you know, we've accepted Christ into our lives and the need to turn our lives around, to reject the old ways of thinking, our old behaviors. And maybe when we look back, we, like Lot's wife, we sort of reminisce and think, well, maybe things weren't so bad before we became a Christian. So we need to celebrate and remember the good. We need to look back and celebrate and remember the good, but not to look back like Lot's wife or the Israelites and sort of remember and celebrate the bad. Amen.